His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away, every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Greet each other. Give a greeting, and I'd like to invite you, if you're our guest today, to connect with us with the cell and just pull this off and fill it out, put it in the offering plate. Please be seated. Kim and I want to thank y'all so much for your love already for us this weekend. You put us up at the River Cottage Inn, the River Palms Cottage, and we love it. Been beautiful this weekend. You brought in a dear friend of ours from our past, Jim Lefwich, a pastor buddy, and he's going to be speaking to you this morning. And we've just had a wonderful weekend yesterday. You provided for us to go fishing, and we went fishing and caught 40 mangrove snapper. I caught 30. Jim caught 10. But he did catch a big snook, his biggest snook of his life. And maybe a sawfish. He might have been connected to a big sawfish. And we had a great time yesterday morning. And look forward to spending more time with you today. And understand they've got lunch for us. And it was 30 years ago that Kim and I and Shay and Josh came here. And this became home to us. We love it. Praise God for you and the opportunity to serve here in paradise. And just a wonderful time. We're winning people to Christ. And I did want to share with you that our guide yesterday is a wonderful young man named Jonathan. And when we were done, we were filleting some of the fish. And I got to share Jesus with him. And Jonathan gave his life to Christ. Let's give the Lord a big hand. We praise the Lord for that. And excited about that. A few announcements. Again, want to remind you about life groups and to participate in those. And then you'll see there's a Reborn activities for our youth and for our singles. And then also, Morning Joy's coming up, one of our ladies' fellowships. Want you to be a part of that. And then the ministry to Stuart Lodge. And so I know church is wanting to invite you to lunch afterwards over in the fellowship hall. And we'll have just a great time of fellowship. And again, thank you so much for everything you're doing for Kim and I. We love you. Thank God for you. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for a beautiful day, Lord. We want to tell you that we love you and you're so wonderful and great, Lord. We want to ask you please to bless these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. We want to ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God for that. Kim and I have had the opportunity to know Jim and Robin Lefwich since 1985. Actually, Kim knew them earlier from Liberty University. They both attended there when we were there. Jim played football there. And I actually met him after we were both pastoring, met him as we were both pastoring here in Florida. And I've had him through the years. He's come and he spoke to us several times and blessed our hearts. He's a man of God, faithful and true, loves his wife, his family, loves the Lord. And excited to have him here with us as a dear friend. Thank y'all for inviting him to come, and he's going to come and share with us at this time. Brother Jim, let's give him a big hand.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to just say a couple things real quick, make sure I didn't mess up the microphone and the sound's okay before I get started. But It's true. I've known 35 plus years, Pastor Daryl. We saw each other on campus. Like I said, we were both on different sport teams. I was bigger then, and he was big then. So, but we really got to know each other, both being on the East Coast and pastoring after seminary. And I ran into Pastor Daryl at a pastor's conference, I believe, over in Orlando. And, of course, we both wore our hair real short. I didn't have a beard at Liberty, obviously, back in those days. But Pastor Daryl got freed up, too, because the first time I saw him in Orlando, he had a mullet. And I thought, all right, I can relate to this. You know, I'm from West Virginia, so that looked great to me. But he's since cut his mullet and become a great pastor. And, folks, I want to tell you, you are really, really blessed to have him as a man of God. I'd say outside of Kim, nobody knows Daryl better than myself or Nick. I'd say we know Pastor Daryl better than anybody outside of his family and his kids and grandkids. And I want to tell you, you've got a man of God. And he's got a holy boldness and a courage about him that, because I was going to roast him over there, but there's not going to be any time. So I'll just say this real quick, you know. Daryl's bigger than me, he's bolder than me, and he actually sticks closer than a brother. He's closer to me than a brother. You know, seriously, I've heard people say this, and it's so true. If you have one or two friends in your lifetime that you know, Bible said about David and Jonathan, their souls were knit. But I mean, somebody, you know, you have a lot. Daryl loves everybody, you know, and you know, he would consider everybody a friend who knows Christ. If they're a friend of Jesus, they're his friend. But you understand what I mean. There's levels of friendship. When you can find somebody that you're on the same page with, theologically, spiritually, philosophically, as a man, you enjoy the same things, your family, your wife, your kids, your grandkids. That's what Proverbs means in Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? And we know it's talking about Jesus, but sometimes we're blessed and God gives us a friend in this life like that. And Daryl's that kind of friend to me. We can not be together for a year and get together, and I mean, it's like we never separated, you know. But I just want to say, you're right and good. You can't honor him as a pastor enough. I feel so honored to be here and to have this weekend with him and Kim. And we love them so much, and I consider both of them one of the godliest couples in ministry and one of the most faithful. Listen, to have a pastor, especially from our generation, 30 years, there's so many fruits and blessings of that, I could never get into it much today. That's really not what my message is about, but what it does for a congregation. I pastored in Melbourne for 12 years, not near that long. But, you know, so many people came through our church. That's just the way the East Coast is. I mean, you got a core. I've seen a handful of people that I know and I've seen ever since I started coming, you know, 30 years ago. But, you know, new people. Every time I meet tons of new people, that's the way our church was. And people then will go all over the United States, really all over the world, and God will use them. And I meet people that are in the military. I've got a young man came up through my youth. He's a general. I mean, a two-star general, and ready to retire. And I mean, just people all over the world. And it's the principle, you know, if you got a faithful Bible church, you may not be the biggest church in town, but man, if you disciple and grow people in the Word, you're sending missionaries all over the world. And what a blessing. And Daryl has done that multiplied times, you know, so I just praise God for him. Praise God for Kim. Listen, you can't honor a pastor's wife anymore. I know y'all love them, but you can't honor a pastor's wife any more than Kim. She's so faithful. And pastor's wives, you know, they've got to stand on the sidelines and watch and see a lot of stuff. And I want to tell you, they love you. They love this church. They're committed. I really believe the best days of this church are ahead. Because, you know, he's been sharing with me a little bit. You know, Daryl, we know he has a vitality and an energy. And it comes from a spirit. He's got a vision. He's always had a vision. And I've seen this more than once across the country, that sometimes pastors in their latter stages, they get to see that vision come to fruition. And you're going to be a part of it, and I'm just really, really excited for you. So Praise God. Amen. You happy to be here today? I am thrilled. Take your Bible. We're going to turn to a very familiar passage, but I pray God will give us a, you know, let us look at it with fresh eyes, that the Spirit of God will speak to us as if it's the first time we've ever read it. So turn to Psalm 23, okay? While you're turning to Psalm 23, most of you know it by heart. You don't need to turn there, but I like to see the words because I believe Jesus came in the fullness of time. The Bible was put in print. Why? Because there's something about the way our brain works. When we see the printed word, it gets impressed on our brains, and it just, you know, it can minister to you on and on the rest of your life. You never really lose it. You never really forget it. You may not consciously remember it, but it's there. So Psalm 23. I forgot my glasses when I came. Kim offered hers, but I didn't know. Some of you don't know me so well how that would look, me wearing ladies' glasses while I'm preaching. But praise God, I brought my large print Bible. Amen? Not only is it large print, it's super giant print, okay, is what it's called. So hopefully we'll be okay. Psalm 23. I want to talk to you about a subject, and I'm having a little fun with you because people may not think this is a fun subject. This is a happy subject. But if you'll stick with me, everything ends in the joy of the Lord and in victory when we're looking at the Word of God. So I believe this will be a blessing if you'll hang in there the next 30 minutes with me, okay? Psalm 23, we love it. We cherish it. You know, the amazing thing about Scripture, I'm a Bible man just like your pastor. I believe every word of God is breathed. Not only that, I believe the Holy Spirit's so powerful in church history. My second love besides Bible and theology is history. I believe the Holy Spirit has worked so powerfully in church history. I believe the canon is placed just like it should be, that every book of the Bible is where it should be, and that God's hand is on it. But every word of God is breathed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's an amazing thing. But listen, here's the thing about Scripture. I was gloriously saved, not because of me, because of the people around me and my parents and the environment God put me in. I was saved when I was 6.5 years old. Then I came through public schools in the 70s and, you know, was all over the place. And then God got a hold of me my senior year, and it led to me ultimately being at Liberty University, which I never dreamed I would be, and so many students when I was there would tell you the same thing. My wife had already enrolled at Auburn University, stayed home from First Baptist Church, Merritt Island, sick one Sunday, about 3 weeks before she was going to go to Auburn, saw Dr. Falwell on TV, had a bunch of college students there giving testimonies. Her mom came over and she said, "I'm not going to Auburn, I want to go to Liberty." And God brought her to Liberty just like he brought Daryl and Kim, and I was in California playing junior college football, and I had bigger schools looking at me and talking to me. You know, I was a bigger guy then, and I wanted to go to UCLA, and God broke me at the end of the season after everything was over. I got on my face and cried out to God. I was so homesick. 18, 19-year-old kid from southern West Virginia. My hometown had 5,000. It's one of the biggest towns in the state. I was so homesick, and I prayed. I said, "God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Lord, just please send me to a Christian college." I had gotten sick of the hedonism in California and attended a charismatic house church because there was nothing else there where I was. And God used that actually in my life in a wonderful way. But anyway, I prayed that prayer at 1 o'clock in the morning on my face in my bedroom. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I got a call that Liberty University was looking for me and wanted to talk to me about, you know, wanted to recruit me. So that was my answer from God. And I said, they said, "We want to bring you back on a recruiting trip." I said, "You don't need to. I'm sold. I'm coming. I don't care what it looks like," you know. And we ended up going ahead and taking the recruiting trip, but it changed my life just like it did your pastor and Kim. But I want to talk to you about fear. Would you agree with me that fear is not only gripping our country, it's gripping the world? Amen? And if you don't know Jesus, there's a lot to fear. But I'm going to give you a good word this morning. You know, I'm going to tell you something up front you already know, because I know you're a pastor and you've heard this many times from all over the place, but 365 times in the Word of God it tells us fear not. One for every day of the week. Isn't that a blessing? I want to, this Psalm 23, I never saw it before, but David had a lot of reasons, had a lot of fears attack him, had a lot of spiritual warfare his whole life. From the time he was a youth and he went up against Goliath till he folded his arms and went to heaven. David was a man of war. That's why he couldn't build the temple. God said, I'm not going to let you build the temple, David. Your son's going to build the temple because you're a man of war. You shed so much blood. Not only was he a physical man of war, he was a spiritual warrior. And everything came against David. And so God opened my eyes to Psalm 23, preached on it many times, but I saw it in a new light. And really our key verse is going to be verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So that's going to kind of be our focus this morning on verse 4, but the whole chapter is around that. Dear people, listen to me. I talk to people still, even though I'm not a full-time pastor. We counsel. I preach in churches. I'm talking to Christians all over the place, and I'll tell you, Christians are struggling, just like the world, with fear. You know, fear can control your life. It can dominate your day. I mean, it can just control your thought life. Fear can keep you from accomplishing the calling of God in your life. We're called, men and women, but we're called to be men of God and women of God in this age. And God has so many things in store for us that we will never receive or experience if we respond to everything and if we act from faith, from fear, instead of faith. And really, that's the battle. Are you going to look at the future in faith, or are you going to look at the future in fear? I heard about a preacher. I mean, we're human beings, and some of us can be kind of quirky. But I heard about this one preacher. His mother and father both had died of diabetes, and he developed it, you know, later in his ministry. And so he had this fear of diabetes because his mother had lost a leg and, you know, it terribly ravaged his family. He had this real fear of diabetes. And so he was out to dinner one time with the family or, you know, some people, church people after church, that kind of thing. And he's sitting there and he stopped everybody in the middle. He goes, wait, just a minute. He goes, I can't feel my leg. And finally, a sweet little senior lady next to him said, Pastor, you've got your hand on my leg. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe that wasn't appropriate. I apologize for this. But we can get so bound up in fear that we fear everything. And it can really, really control our lives. But folks, listen to me. Right now, there's the enemy, Satan, and his world, I know your pastor talks about it a lot, his world system that's in place, and the scriptures tell us this, there's a darkness that's encompassing our land. There's a darkness that's really encompassing the world. I would call it this present darkness. My wife, Robin, you know, that Daryl and Kim know real well, and she's been here with me a handful of times. She got after me one time when I was pastor, and she said, Jim, you need to read some fiction. All you read is theology and history books and all this stuff and biographies. She said, you need to read some fiction. It would help you. She said, broaden your imagination, you know. Some of it can really be good. So a Christian author came to Merritt Island, and he wrote fiction books. And she came home and with a note from the author, and he had written in it when we were at First Baptist Merritt Island, Jim, try to read a fiction book sometime or something like that, and he signed it. And so I read this fiction book, This Present Darkness. I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but it really, truly, I'm left-handed, and I've got an artistic bent more than a mathematical mind. And so I kind of look at things and imagine. I see a lot of stuff. I mean, I've got an imagination, hopefully sanctified imagination anyway. But when I read This Present Darkness, it changed my life and how I look at the world, how I look at spiritual warfare. And so that's what just in the next few minutes, the Bible talks about how the demonic world is going to encroach and it's going to grow stronger as we near the end of the age. Two or three quick scriptures. You don't have to look at them. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The King James says, perilous time shall come. The Greek says, dangerous time shall come. And it describes the generation right before Christ returns. That evil men will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Matthew 24, our Lord talked about the end of the age, and he said that lawlessness will increase. Would you agree that's going on right now? Lawlessness will increase. Luke 21, men's hearts failing them for fear. And then, of course, the well-known passage in Isaiah where he's talking about the end of the age. All the prophets ended their books looking forward, and God opened up the future for them, and they addressed the end of the age, just about every one of the prophets, before they ended their prophecies that were put in God's Word. And Isaiah got this prophecy. This day, I'm convinced, talking about today, men will call evil good and good evil. Is that not this day today? I want to tell you, folks, darkness is growing and it's encroaching. But I want to say this based on Psalm 23 and all the scriptures. But let's just talk for a few minutes. Look to the future with no fear. Look to the future with faith. And so I want to challenge you to do that. Now, Psalm 23 is typology teaching in the Old Testament. What that means, all the imagery, the shepherds, the staff, the valley of death, all these things were real, but it's typology teaching talking about great spiritual truths. It's a picture, really, of the Christian life, is it not? Psalm 23, the Pilgrim's Progress. And it's a saved person living in this present age. Psalm 23. That's what's so amazing. Scripture has one interpretation, only one, because it's God's Word and it's true. But many, a one interpretation, many applications. Every time I open the Bible, and I've been reading it faithfully since I was in high school, I would just tell you, God, if you just open your heart and pray, God, teach me. And if you'll not just try to read, you know, get through it, but let it get in you, God will show you new things every time you open the book. And so this is the reality of Psalm 23. Really, David is battling and talking about darkness and evil just like we're facing today. It is a reality. And I want to talk about some of the realities of the Christian life. How do we deal with it? How do we come against it? You know, this always blesses me. I know it does Pastor Darrell. Anytime the worship, and wasn't that a sweet, that was a sweet worship part of the service. I loved it. And but when the songs, the spiritual songs, the hymns, speak exactly to what God's asked you to preach on, that blesses your heart. You know, okay, the Holy Spirit's here and He's in control. He's got a message for us today. And they sang about this over and over again. Number one, quickly, the presence of Jesus in this present darkness. We are living in a present darkness. But the difference, we need to understand Jesus is present in this world right now. Oh, we can fear the world system. We can fear the deep state. We can fear what's going on in Europe and Russia and China and Taiwan and even in our own country in Washington, D.C. I mean, evil is abounding, but we need to understand just like in his day when he came, the demonic forces line up. They know prophecy better than we do. They know the Word of God better than we do. How did Satan attack Jesus in the wilderness? He took the Word and he misapplied it, he misused it, but Jesus defeated him with the Word of God. And so this is what we see, the presence of Jesus. Verse 4, this is a reality. Verse 4 is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Folks, let me tell you something. It's one thing to be born again and be saved and have your name written in heaven. It's a completely different place and thing for you to live, work, and do what you do here on earth in the presence of Jesus. Knowing that the presence of Jesus is in your life in a powerful way. I understand the theology that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, but in reality, as we near the end of the age, the Holy Spirit is quenched so much. The Holy Spirit is offended, and He doesn't force anything on us. As you can tell, I'm not a five-point Calvinist, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't force anything on us. That's why God used the emblem, the symbol of a dove. He will come where we pray, where we're glorifying Christ, where we're praising Jesus. I sensed the Holy Spirit in this place while we were praising God. And I pray it continues. But verse 4, this is the reality of the Christian life. I want to ask you, based on the realities David's talking about, is Jesus with you? If you look at Psalm 1 and following, leading up to verse 4, Psalm 1 through 3, I want you to notice, first, it's got to be personal. One of the things I tell people, Daryl's one of the greatest soul winners. I'm not just saying this because he's my dear friend. One of the greatest soul winners. When I'm with him, like yesterday, I don't even open my mouth. I like to listen to him witness to people. And I know he's going to. So, you know, I don't want to double barrel the person. I just wait and let Pastor Daryl do it. Because God's given him that gift, and all Christians are to be a witness. We can all sow the gospel seed, but he's got that gift. I love to hear him share Christ with people. But I want to tell you this, verses 1 through 3, one of the things I share with people, because it's where the world is right now, is it's not a religion, it's a relationship. If you listen to people that go, I'm not religious, I say, praise God. Praise God you're not religious. I'm not religious either. In fact, I love to shock people. Being a Baptist preacher, it really shocks people. I tell people sometimes, listen, religion's the curse of the world. I'm glad you're not religious. The curse of the world? What are you talking about? I said, more people have been killed in the name of religion. More people have been led astray and led to hell in the name of religion than anything. It's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship. And when you get in the Word of God, the Old Testament's no different than the New. Look what it says starting in verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is what? My shepherd. What's the next sentence? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Folks, it's got to be personal. You got to have the presence of Jesus in your life if you're going to move forward by faith and if you're going to be the person God wants you to be in these last days. I don't know about you, not that we could ever attain this, but I want to be a Noah. Amen? I want to be an Elijah. I want to be somebody that when Jesus comes, man, I'm looking for Him. I want to leave this world in a fiery chariot. Amen? And I mean, not literally. I'm not Elijah and I don't pretend to be, but I mean, I want to leave on fire for God. I want to leave on fire for Jesus. Let me tell you something. I want to leave filled with the Spirit. I mean, when the trumpets sound, I want it to be something that, man, I instantly rejoice in and jump for joy. And so I'm telling you, it's got to be personal. You know, the Lord Jesus is able. I want you to notice that phrase there. I shall not want. That's the King James. What does the word want mean? We don't know. We don't use that word much anymore. That you'll have everything you need. And notice that it negates the word want. It's a not want. It's negating the word want. In other words, there'll be nothing we do without. We're going to have everything. We have everything right now God wants us to have to live for Jesus, to be strong, to be full of faith, and to lead other people into the kingdom right up until the end of the age. Dear people, the Lord Jesus is able to meet your physical needs in this world. I know Christians freaking out, man. They're storing up, packing up. You know, they're just so worried about the future. I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus is able to meet every physical need that you've got. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, that we shouldn't be wise and we shouldn't take care of our families and things, but He's able to meet your emotional, mental needs. Really, what's going on in the world right now is spiritual warfare, and it's an attack on the minds of America, and it's an attack on Christian minds, really. He's able to meet your spiritual needs. God, in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has already provided for everything that you'll need to live the victorious Christian life. I'm not talking about just surviving. I'm talking about thriving, amen? the victorious Christian life. He's given it all. That's why when Jesus said, I'll send my spirit, I mean, the apostles, the disciples then had no clue what he meant. They didn't understand how loaded that statement was. When Jesus sent the Spirit, think of the gifts of the Spirit. Think of the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of the great awakenings and revivals in the past. We've got the Holy Spirit of God with us. Christ is at the throne, right hand of the Father, but we've got the Holy Spirit of God. We've got everything we need to be what He's called us to be, to do what He's called us to do in this generation, to be the father, the mother that God's called us to do. But Satan wants to beat you down. He wants to say, oh, you can't do it. You can't raise your kids. You can't do this. You can't do that. He's given you everything you need to be the father and mother. He's given you everything you need to be the husband, to be the wife that God's called you to be. He's given you everything you need to be the Christian soldier in this generation and here at the end of the age, and to be something God's been teaching me, which I don't have time to go there. I'm ashamed to say this now, but I didn't really have a servant spirit. I'd pastored for years. Your pastor's got a servant spirit. He loves meeting people's needs. He's hands-on. You know, I realized I didn't have a servant spirit. But for the last 3 years, I've been the closest. I've been the nurse and been taking care of my wife after we went through a tremendous accident, head-on accident. And so God's taught me through my wife how to be a servant. And you know what? I love it now. It brings joy to my heart. It's brought us so much closer. And we miss so much when we're not willing to imitate Jesus. Folks, what was Jesus when he was on this earth? He was a servant. He would wash feet. If he washed the disciples' feet, I can certainly wash my wife's feet, amen? Because she has beautiful feet. And I just want to tell you, God's given us all we need. The presence of Jesus in this present darkness. Number two, they all won't be this long. I can preach till lunch, amen? Number two, though, a little shorter, the power of Jesus over this present darkness. David understood this. Who was the shepherd in Psalm 23? We know it was Jesus, right? So God opened up and he let David see the Messiah. And so he knew about the Messiah and that the Messiah was coming. But I want to tell you, Psalm 23 is all about Jesus. He is the good shepherd. And so the power of Jesus is in this present darkness is a reality. Listen, while Jesus was here, he demonstrated his power over disease, over death, even over hell and the grave. Jesus demonstrated he had all power. Folks, Jesus hasn't changed. But we don't have the faith to trust him to overcome and help us overcome our greatest obstacles, to help us overcome the opposition, the things that come against us on a daily basis. I want to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. God wants to do so much more, but it's all about growing us and making us like Jesus before the trumpet sounds or before we step through the door of death. And he's ready to give us, but he wants us to exercise faith. And that's by doing and living day by day. I want to tell you something about that property. That's nothing to God. That's nothing. He's already got it taken care of, but he's looking for the congregation to step up and to praise him and rejoice and move forward and claim the blessings that he's got ready for you. The power of Jesus in our daily lives. I love this. Thy rod. David was a shepherd, right? He fought off lions and bears and fought off everything with his staff and his rod. He knew exactly, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. And he's talking spiritually here. The rod of God. You want to talk about something that's powerful? There's nothing can stand against it. And so when David knew these realities in his life, God taught him the realities of the Spirit-filled life and walking with the Lord. Dear people, God will comfort you in your darkest hour. God will comfort you and encourage you when you need it the most. if you'll trust Him and if you're walking in the presence of Jesus. My wife, a lot of the time over the past 4 years, she's had to sleep in a recliner because of her injuries, and I won't get all into that either. But, you know, we're together all day, and she's with me as much, you know, we get together. When it comes time for her to sleep, she's got to be in a recliner because of her injuries. And so it's up at the front of the house and stuff, and we've fought some demonic. I mean, I've been in the presence of demons, just like I'm sure your pastor has. Not all in third world countries. I have experienced that in third world countries, but I mean right here in the United States. And you may laugh and you may scoff, but I want to tell you, it's real. It's a reality. But I had to pray over her, and her being at the other end of the house, you know, there were some things that were the enemy was using to keep her in fear at night, and she has no fear now. And but one of the things she did, because she couldn't sleep well, there's an app that you can get for your phone, and it's nighttime sleeping noises. Has anybody ever seen those? I'm sure you have, many of you. She's got this app, and she turns it on when she can't sleep, and it's running water, and it's rain, and it's all these wonderful sounds, you know, puts her right to sleep. And I've thought about that, how important it is. It just comforts her, you know, and makes her feel safe and secure. Listen, that's what the Lord wants to do to our souls, our spirits, every one of us. I want you to notice again, notice the wording in Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Has your soul ever been depleted? I promise you, Pastor Darrell's soul's been depleted. Mine's been depleted many times. But I mean, when we get on our faces and get before God, and we just love Him and worship Him and we ask Him, let me tell you something. He will restore your soul. I mean, I can be dog tired where I can't put one foot in front of the other. And after spending a while with God and being in His presence and being in the Word, I could leap up and go another 12 hours. I want to tell you, He will restore our soul. David knew that. How? This is the most important part if you don't hear anything else today. How can we know the presence of Jesus? How can we know the power of Christ in our lives to overcome obstacles, to overcome opposition in our lives on a daily basis? And I'm not just talking about pastors and me and what we've been through, what Pastor and Kim have been through. I'm talking about the youngest saint in this auditorium. You're going to come against obstacles on a daily basis. You're going to come against opposition. Why? Because the devil does not want you to live in victory. He does not want you to have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because if you got the joy of the Lord, that's the best advertisement for heaven that you can have. You get people go, I can't witness. Listen, just get full of Jesus. And then just when people ask you, you know what? You get full of Jesus, you got the joy of the Lord, you will be asked. I know many of you in this auditorium, you've had people ask, why are you so happy? What's going on? You know, and you can share with them. You can tell them. That's what Peter meant when he said, be ready to give an answer. I believe that we're to be active in witnessing like your pastor is. I believe we ought to be aggressive. But yet it needs to be in the Spirit. And if we're in the Spirit, God's going to give us divine appointments. Amen. Man, like yesterday, we had a divine appointment, really. In fact, our chairman of deacons, he gets to rejoice. He got some fruit from that, too. So, praise God. But God will give you divine appointments. And I want to tell you, it's through the Word. You've got to live in this book. I can't understand a Christian not reading their Bible. I'd be in the dark. I'd be so defeated. I mean, we're in the darkness, and if you're not in this world, in this Word, you're missing it. Great and precious promises. God giving us direction. God feeding our souls, our spirits. Man, we sure feed our bodies, don't we? We sure feed our bodies. I used to be a major eater. I mean, first time I took my wife out on a date, we went to a fish house in Lynchburg. It gave you all you could eat. I forget the name of it. Ate 14 plates of fish. On the first date. She was so scared. She told me later, she was so nervous, she didn't even finish one plate. And I was kind of shy with girls. I didn't date a lot. But man, when they set plates in front of me, I forgot everything. I just started eating like crazy. I wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't shy about eating. And I mean, you know, but we feed ourselves. But don't starve your spirit. You got to be in this book. It's not how much of this book you go through. It's how much of it gets in you. Amen? Read it slow. Pray over it. Listen, it all comes back to the basics. You know, when I played football, I don't care how, you know, we'd play some big teams. Their athletes were, you know, well-known and across the country and all this kind of stuff, big-time athletes. But you know what it came down to? Whoever was going to line up and block and tackle and wanted it the most and would throw themselves out there and throw themselves into it, you know, and give it all they had, that's who was going to walk off the field victorious. I want to tell you, as Christians, we're going to miss so much if we're not in this book. You got to be in this book. Just read it slowly. Pray over it. So it's the Word of God, and what I was getting at is the basics of the Christian life, Bible study and prayer. But we need to learn to meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word day and night, the Bible says. And if you'll read it slowly, and here's the key, pray over it. When you get to a verse, have you a Bible? I know I'm not telling you anything new because I know you, Pastor. He's trained you and discipled you well. But you need a Bible. This is not mine, obviously, because I got to be able to read it, read from it in the pulpit. But you need a Bible that you circle words, that you underline and highlight verses, that you go back and go over those. You know, after you read it, however much you read, 10 verses or a chapter, then you got two or three verses to go back and read over again and pray over them. Ask the Spirit of God to help you understand, to enlighten your mind, to fix it in you that the evil one cannot snatch it away. That's one of my prayers, Lord. Don't let the evil one snatch away what you gave me today. It was too precious. Guard it, because the Bible says Satan will do that. He's trying to snatch the Word out of your mind, out of your memory, cut you off from the Word of God. Why do you think that is? Because he knows he can keep you a defeated Christian. But folks, listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength, amen? Here's where Brother Rick and us worshiping today, and I don't mean this to sound critical, here's where the blessing is. Rick, I just got to know him, I already love him, he's a dear brother in the Lord. But let me tell you something, we were talking about what a joy it is when there are good scriptural, spirit-filled choruses and spiritual songs, and you sing those, and you also sing one of the great hymns. I don't want to lose the great hymns, man. I'm passing them on to my grandchildren now. My daughter is. She's having them memorize them, and she's rewarding them for it. Listen, the hymns, so many of them, they're not all good either. Let's be honest. But many of the hymns were written through prayer. They're full of the Word of God, and it was the sacrifice of the saints, and many people shed blood for them. And so, you know, the praise invites the presence of God and the presence of Jesus in your life. But we've got to pray over the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit and pray over the Word. And ask God to personalize it, make it real to you. And you pray over that Word, and that's how it gets in your life. That's how you engraft it. That's how it becomes a part of you, okay? Going to finish and just here with this third one. The presence of Jesus, the power of Jesus in this present darkness. I want to just end real quick. I've already been hitting it. The promise of Jesus over this present darkness. Boy, would we be wrong if we left out verses 5 and 6. Let's read them together, or say them together. I don't want to miss a word, so I'm going to read it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Let's say it together. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, these are promises, right? I'm convinced for this last generation of Christians more than any, in this present darkness, these are the promises that God and the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God are giving us if we will be faithful. I love that phrase, thou preparest. God, you prepare for us. Think about that. Jesus, I love science. I was a science major before I was called into the ministry. Jesus, And I lived on the Space Coast and knew, you know, a bunch of people worked out at the Cape. So I've been highly interested in it all my life. But I want to tell you, Jesus, with a word in a day, created the galaxies, the stars, everything. I mean, he spoke it into existence just like that. He prepared this world that after thousands of years, I'm a creationist, so thousands of years, not millions of years, and you can, that's okay, that's not part of my sermon. Don't turn me off because of that. Thousands of years, I'm sorry, I hate to tell some of these people in Washington, this earth God built into it, it renews itself. Yes, it's going to burn someday. It's not going to last forever. God's got a clock on it, a time. But at the same time, you know, we can't really, I mean, we should be good stewards. I was an Eagle Scout when I was young. I really believed in conservation back in the 70s. You know, that was the big thing, the Indian with a big tear down his face on the commercial. And so my Eagle Scout project was putting all over my county seat town, I put these barrels, painted them up, you know, beautifully, and put them all over town and stuff because people were just throwing their trash in the streets and stuff like that, you know. I believe in taking care of this earth. But listen, God's got it taken care of. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do other than be a good steward and be a conservationist to help it. It renews itself. But that Jesus spoke all this into an existence. And I want to tell you, think of this. The Bible says he's in heaven right now preparing a table for us. Preparing a place for us, we know. Preparing a table for us. I think it's getting really close. I think the table's being set, personally. That's my personal conviction. And I want to tell you, the Hebrew there is very graphic and it's very imaginative. The Hebrew on he prepares the table before us, for us in the presence of our enemies, it's the idea of a large spread, a large banquet table. I mean, walking in and it's just spread. Can you imagine the table that God can spread? Folks, I want to tell you, he's got so many things in store that when Paul was taken up and he came back, he said, I can't speak of it. I saw things, I heard things, I can't speak of it. I'm not allowed, but he said, I couldn't describe it if I wanted to. The promise of Jesus over this present darkness. And then verse 6, the testimony of your life. What kind of testimony are you going to leave behind for your children and your grandchildren? Notice there in verse 6. Is it surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our testimony. Folks, I turned 64 in November. The men in my family don't live too much, too far into their 70s. So I don't know how much time I've got. I may not live till tomorrow. But in fact, my wife and I talk all the time. We want to be raptured together. Amen? Or, you know, we don't know what God's got planned for us. I may live another day, another year, another 10 years. But as the scriptures say, my times are in his hands. He's got that, and I'm looking forward to heaven. The only thing that would hold me here is my wife and my grandbabies and my kids. I love them, and I want to be a part of their lives, you know, as long as I can. But, you know, I got a lot of people in heaven now at age 64. Pastors who mentored me, pastors who blessed me, who taught me the Word of God. Dear saints that you wouldn't know their names, but now when I think back in my mind, faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful Christians who lived the Christian life in front of me, showed me the way. I've got relatives. All my four parents are in heaven now. I've got grandparents. My grandfather was 54 when he died of a stroke. Got saved 2 years. My dad led him to the Lord 2 years before he died at age 54. My mother was saved under... most of y'all would know this name, Darren Kimwood, B.R. Lakin. He was a famous evangelist, lived close to us, and he preached great revivals in the 50s and 60s where I'm from. I mean, large amounts of people got saved in the Tug Valley and from Huntington to Bluefield where I'm from. A lot of people. My mom went to a crusade he was preaching. She got saved. My dad, she couldn't talk my dad. He was an old hard Navy guy, and she couldn't talk him into going to the services with him. But she kept praying, and he loved her. And so Lakin came back the next year. He went with my mom, and he got saved. And so my parents were having personal revival when I was born. I'm the oldest son. In fact, when my mom got baptized, she was 3 months pregnant with me. She didn't know it. So I've had two baptisms. You know, when I get to talk to Catholic or people who've been baptized as children, I have fun with them. I say, yeah, I've had infant baptism and believers or, you know, baptism by immersion since I've been saved. But folks, I got relatives in heaven. I've got relationships. I look forward to heaven. And here's what it says. It calls it the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. But folks, I want to say this to you. It's by invitation only. Jesus told the parable. You know, I don't understand it. Jesus, you know, he just gave us enough to get us to heaven and help us grow and be victorious in the Christian life. There's so much more we don't know. But in that parable, Jesus talks about those who try to slip into the supper. And they didn't have a robe. They hadn't been born again. They didn't have the clothing of Christ covering their sins. Folks, that's how you get saved. You can't get saved. You can't do anything to get saved yourself. We're sinners. Daryl so eloquently shared with the brother, with our guide yesterday, that you can't do anything for your salvation. It's sin that keeps us out of heaven. You know, you talk to the average person, you interview 10 people, 7 of them will tell you, how do you get to heaven? Keeping the 10 commandments. Folks, you can't keep the 10 commandments. Jesus came and said, not only can you not keep the 10 commandments, in spirit, you violate them every day. It's not just if you commit adultery. If you look at a woman and lust after her, he condemned all men right there, didn't he? What man, since he was 16 years old, has never lusted after a woman? Jesus said, if you've ever lusted after a woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart. What did Jesus do? He showed sin's not just what you do. It's who you are. It's what you think on the inside. It's your soul that's tainted. Folks, listen. Everybody I meet seems, you know, I meet so many good people. That doesn't mean they're going to be in heaven. That doesn't mean they're born again. Jesus said, unless you're born of the Spirit, unless the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you, you repent and you receive Jesus, and he puts his Spirit within you, you shall not see the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be awful to not even see these things? Outer darkness that the Bible describes. Folks, God's got so many wonderful things in store, but it's by invitation only. Invitation only. God can't let one sin into heaven. You might be a good person. If he let one sin into heaven, it would destroy heaven. Look what we've done to the United States, to America in 250 years. After having that great Puritan beginning, the great awakenings and the revivals and everything. Look at America now. I can't believe, I'm sure those 50 and older especially, are you like me? I'm shocked how quickly our country can fall. It's amazing. But folks, I want to tell you, what's beautiful, the door's still open this morning. It's going to close when the trumpets sound, the rapture takes place, and the world's going to fall not only under complete darkness, but deception. But right now, the doors are still open. Amen? Right now, Jesus says, come. Whosoever will, let him come. And so, it's by invitation only, and I'm giving you the invitation right now. I know Pastor Daryl does all the time. If you don't know 100% sure that you're saved, you need to make sure this morning. I wouldn't want to live another day. And there's so much of this word I don't understand and that I don't know. I don't want you to think I know it all and I've got it all. No, there's so much of this word. The older I get, the more I study the Bible, the more I realize I don't know. But folks, listen to me. I'm telling you this morning, if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you need to make sure. Don't let your pride, don't let the whisper of the enemy say, no, you're probably fine. Don't worry. If I wasn't 100% sure, I'd want to make sure this morning. And so the Savior's inviting you, and it can be the greatest day of your life. I was saved April the 12th, 1965. I wouldn't know the date except my mama wrote it in my Bible. So that helped me remember the date. But I sure remember that day. I sure remember that day. I heard John 3 and a new light. And my Sunday school teacher said, put your name where it says world. For God so loved Jimmy. That was my name growing up. For God so loved Jimmy that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jimmy would believe on him, he would never perish but have everlasting life. And I saw the Savior crucified, bleeding, pouring out his life for me. Not that Jesus died on the cross. Spurgeon used to say Christ died on the cross. That's history. Christ died for me. That's salvation. Amen. I'm going to ask us to come and let's just be in prayer. Listen, if you're saved, we need revival. Amen. What a great thing at Pastor Darrell's 30th anniversary. If God used a simple country boy, a friend of his, just to encourage you just a little bit and confirm what he preaches week in and week out, and that this church would break out in revival. I mean, folks, it could change this whole coast, and people will come to the true treasure, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together. Be in a spirit of prayer. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Darrell and let him take the service from here.
Thank you, Jim. Let's give him a hand. Praise the Lord. At this time, we'd like to open up our invitation as we do every Sunday and like to invite you to pray and ask the Lord if he's speaking to your heart in any area, maybe giving your life to Christ, following the Lord in believer's baptism, church membership, rededication, any of these things in your life. We want to encourage you to obey him and the promptings of his Spirit as we extend our invitation now. Let's stand together as you're standing. Let's bow. Yeah, well, let's sing and then you come. This is Pastor Darrell Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.